Okay, Bill.
Okay, this was a patient that I saw just under 2 weeks ago. It was an 84-year-old woman who was referred with a new diagnosis of rectal cancer. She presented with a multiple-month history of a 30-pound weight loss, recent change in bowel habits, and she felt like there was, she described it as like a lump in her rear end. She had some left lower quadrant abdominal pain. She was referred by a gastroenterologist. I'm not sure what the gastroenterologist did to a general surgeon, who performed a sigmoidoscopy on June 10th that showed a large lesion that extends from about 12 centimeters into the rectum, approximately 10 centimeters, according to his report, and the scope could not be passed. On June 12th, the surgeon performed an abdominal perineal resection. He initially tried to do it laparoscopically, but after extensive lysis of adhesions, he had to open her up. There were loops of bowel that were encased in what was felt to be a large mass in the upper rectum. It took an hour to lyse the adhesions. Anteriorly, the mass was adhered to the bladder, as well as the cuff of the vagina. There was a small injury to the left ureter, which was repaired. The mass was perforated into the lateral wall of the rectum, and the surgeon was able to remove this so that we may have cut through the tumor. Intraoperative biopsy showed a proliferated adenocarcinoma. So they decided to do an AP resection, and pathologically, it was a high-grade, poorly differentiated adenocarcinoma, 6.5 centimeters. The tumor invaded through the full thickness of the bowel wall with perforation. There was lymphatic invasion present. Margins were negative, and a total of 7 of 8 lymph nodes were involved with metastatic carcinoma. The woman had been to a rehabilitative facility when she saw me. She did have an interesting history in the 1940s of undergoing a hysterectomy for benign disease and receiving radiation.
So you didn't see her till after the surgery?
I didn't see her till after the surgery.
How long after the surgery did you see her?
By now, it was about 3 to 4 weeks.
How did she look? It sounds like a pretty rough
situation. She had some biotemporal wasting. She looked a little weak, but she was alert and oriented.
Does she have comorbidities?
She was on some cardiac medications. She was on digoxin, and she does have a history of hypertension. It supposedly had a cardiac arrhythmia, was why she was on digoxin.
Sounds like kind of a rough hospital.
Yeah, she had a rough hospitalization. So always looking for a trial, I was thinking, well, could this woman be eligible for a trial? But the first thing I did really is ordered some blood tests and some scans. That's not on here, but actually turned out on her PET scan, she had other lymphadenopathy higher up. The CAT scans were read as negative, but then I called another radiologist who I trusted, looked at it, and he could see measurable lymph nodes. Her CA was normal. And she still, when she came back for follow-up, didn't look great.
What was her sort of attitude?
She was in good spirits.
She was open to treatment?
She was open to the option of treatment.
And she's by herself, or does she have a spouse?
No, she had a spouse with her.
He's well?
Mm-hmm. Her spouse was healthy.
Were they the kind of people who were like, doc, tell me what to do, or are they trying to get information on the internet, et cetera?
More doc, tell me what to do, but I don't know if I can take chemotherapy.
Do you find that older patients in this age range are getting information from the internet either directly or through their families?
Mid-80s, less likely.
How about 70s?
Yes.
Alan?
So this is a tough one. Prior pelvic radiation, and the body has a long memory for radiation. Now, I figured something had gone on because they had that many adhesions down in the pelvis. And did they do a colostomy? They did a colostomy.
Yes, she has the colostomy.
Right. So a couple of issues. One, was it worth doing this operation as opposed to merely doing a diversion? And in that you don't have radiation as an option, certainly trying to get out the pelvic disease is a worthwhile endeavor because we know how miserable people can be with pelvic disease. So that's reasonable. This is a tough call, 84-year-old, nodal disease, incurable. I think one of the first options is to watch the patient and watch the nodal disease and just see what happens. That would be my temptation. In general, I don't believe that going soft on elderly patients does them any favors because I think there's plenty of data that the elderly benefit as much as young patients do with chemotherapy. Certainly in the adjuvant setting, I buy that. In this patient who's just been through the gauntlet with big volume disease, a slow recovery, I think watchful waiting is reasonable. I equally think capecitabine or aggressive therapy is reasonable.
What I actually chose to do this week was to start on Xeloda, capecitabine, because I wasn't sure she could take anything else, and I felt like when I give it at a low dose that I could do that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Toxic. I think that as long as you adjust for an 84-year-old's renal function, function. I agree. I think that's probably the kinder, gentler way to approach her.
How do you adjust for renal function? What kind of renal test do you get?
Well, I think in an 84-year-old, I would probably intuitively dose reduce. I mean, I would start maybe at 850 per meter squared BID instead. I certainly wouldn't use 1250 per meter squared BID. I've never seen a patient who could tolerate that dose.
I just started with a flat dose of 1,000 milligrams twice a day.
And you're going to go 14-1-7 off?
Yeah.
What about the issue of bevacizumab in older patients? This patient has a little bit of...
She's not had a heart attack. You know, she had a cardiac arrhythmia. She's on digoxin and hypertension.
What are your thoughts?
Well, again, I mean,
not necessarily now, but I mean ever.
Right. I think ever is a long time, and so I think Avastin is certainly appropriate in some older patients. I mean,
if this woman starts progressing, getting symptomatic and...
Right, so the reason to treat with Bev would be if she develops pelvic recurrence and you need to do some heavy lifting to affect the tumor burden or the disease that's invading nerves, for example. I think that would be reasonable. Now, on the other hand, it sounds like there were some misadventures down in the pelvis. She's got a lot of scar tissue. There was an inadvertent opening of the bowel. I mean, this is the kind of patient who could have a catastrophic event. But I think in this patient, I would use Bev if her disease progressed to symptoms.
Yeah, we've treated a lot of older patients with bevacizumab, not where we're dealing with wound healing type problems, but cardiovascular complications is really not very common. I mean, it's...
I agree.
I feel comfortable.
I think it's overstated. I think it's true that patients over 70 are at greater risk, but of course they're at greater risk for dropping dead on the sidewalk of a heart attack.
I mean, we know what this patient's risk is. It's her disease, for sure.
And she underwent a gonzo operation and came through it. So I think Bev is certainly fine in the patient.
How about cetuximab in the patient in their 80s? Any special issues there, Bill? I don't know if you...
No, it's just the ability to live with that rash. The older and sicker they are, maybe a little more difficult.